I get the occasional email about a collection that's in someone's home, has been there for a while, and they're thinking of getting rid of it. And people are concerned that it's going to go right into the trash, and maybe I would want it? Maybe the Internet Archive could make a use of it. One of those emails came in, and it has a happy ending. I find myself with all of the items that were stored in that attic. But it's interesting to note at this point what's involved when I decide to drive 800 miles in one day. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. There's a part of me that finds the challenge and the experience of long-term driving to be amazing, to be one of the most enjoyable experiences for me. I love getting behind the wheel of a car, heading with a vague or definite destination, and finding myself there only to either do a little bit of activity, stay the night, and then turn right around and head back. Maybe it's that I didn't really learn to drive until pretty late in life, but I appreciate the experience of getting behind the wheel and going through landscapes. It's probably also because of how much time behind a screen I find myself spending. I love working on repetitive projects, repetitive tasks, and cleaning things up in some sort of visualized pile, making order out of chaos, or at least labeling out of a pile. And so when I turn and look up and I realize hours or days have gone by, I feel I want to get outside, to travel in some way, see places and people outside of my immediate experience. Online communication is wonderful. It's a miracle, really. But there's just something about heading out on the road. The group that contacted me was contacting me about a person who had spent years of his life capturing television onto DVDs. He had apparently saved many, many videotapes, but those had been thrown out because they had gotten really moldy. But the DVDs had survived. They weren't sure what exactly was on them, just that there was a lot of them. And after talking with a few potential people about traveling to this widow's house and packing everything up and sending it away, I realized probably nobody was able to do it except for me. The reasoning being that I was going to have to spend something on the order of 5 or 6 hours driving, and for whatever reason, I couldn't find anybody willing to volunteer who didn't live either further or close enough that I felt kind of bad putting this on them. I talked with the widow a number of times, and it was clear she was ready to move on. The items that represented her husband's work, his hobby, while he was alive, held no value for her. They were just binders and spindles full of these discs, and she was fine with them going away, clearing them out, and moving on. After a few back-and-forth discussions, I chose a Friday. I headed out at 7 a.m. with an empty car, going the 400-plus miles from the New York City area to Erie, Pennsylvania, a little stretch of land that connects to the Great Lakes, providing a small amount of coast to the north for Pennsylvania. The best way to get to Erie is to take one or two major roads, traveling basically in a straight line west and then heading north, just north of Pittsburgh, to find yourself in this very, very small town. I don't need much on these trips. I listen to music to podcasts, or I start phone calls with various people, working over subjects that we both said we should discuss, and just reconnecting with an expansive, meandering conversation to take away a little bit of that time. I love explainer videos, long-form discussions about a subject where somebody has done the research, has illustrative information to go with it, and just travels through a subject, taking me from almost no knowledge to what feels like all of the knowledge. I listened to a couple of those both on my way and back to Erie, Pennsylvania. They represent for me something I sometimes think about doing. I don't want to do documentaries anymore for reasons I've gone into. The amount of effort and time and travel related to the final project is just a ratio I can't afford anymore. But describing something, going from the beginning of an idea all the way through to possible conclusions or leaving conclusions to the audience, that's still on the table. Pennsylvania, during the day, on the highways, was rather quiet. Beautiful views of mountains and farms, a few towns here and there that would crop up around corners, provide a pile of the usual stores and usual franchises, and then we were back to green again. Bridges, hills, and signs of places that I would sometimes consider stopping off for. In truth, though, most of what I stop for are convenience stores. The Wawa, for example, are a chain of combination gas station and fast food places that give you a okay meal and a chance to fuel up before getting back on the road again. They're dependable, they are workhorse, they are easy to find, and they made a good breakpoint as I went. After you get to 4 or 5 hours of solid driving, your mental state changes. If this isn't for you, you can feel absolutely worn down. For myself, I go into these fugue states that I come out of where I realize it's been 100 miles. I've been listening to something that's been feeding into my mind, and I'm barely aware of the road. I mean, I know the safety aspect of keeping out of the way of cars, of not driving too fast, of taking care of my presence and being aware, but I'm also not there. I'm considering long-form internal ideas, ideas that need to be worked over, to think about the ramifications, to find the through line, the thread that I can build from later. This is often where I come up with metaphors or narratives that I then explore when I'm back home. I always have a few burners going, just ideas that are a little bit too deep to come up with on the fly. And these sort of 80-mile-an-hour meditative moments represent a reprieve from distraction, from being called upon and being pulled every which way. Just an unbroken piece of paper that I drag my mind across. In what would be expected at the end of what is essentially a relay race, I found myself at the garage of a tiny house in a tiny suburb in Erie, Pennsylvania. The widow was wonderful. She was delighted I was doing this. She was happy to talk to me, and she was convinced that there wasn't enough room in the car for all of the discs. And it was a lot of discs, to be sure. It filled the trunk, the back seat, and part of the passenger seat. I was definitely laden down with all of these DVD-ROMs, with these notes and pieces of paper that were all part of this collection. But I did make physics happen, and even though my car was now basically a solid block of discs, it was ready to go. I'd estimate we were there for about 30 to 35 minutes. Talking about potential and possibilities, thanking her for being patient before I came, and saying goodbye to all of this, which in a way is saying goodbye to this person that she loved. It's important to respect how people put their hearts and their thoughts into objects, and while their loved ones who come after them may not see it the same way, there is a part of them that does. Driving somewhere is not that hard. Driving back immediately has the potential to be. You've already done it. You've already gone this distance, and now you're looking to go that exact distance back. If you're lucky, there are two different ways to go, that the way you go back is not exactly to the mile the way you came. This isn't the case in Pennsylvania, which only has a few major roads I could choose from. But still, that fugue state returned, those towns came and went, with lights coming on, with darkness falling, and with me talking on the phone, hands-free, to a variety of people that were now ending their day and were willing to chat to somebody on a very, very long drive. Ultimately, after I got home and put all the items into storage, I started to work out how I was going to process these discs. And I have to say, these discs are okay. They're DVD-Rs, they're DVD-RWs. These are not stable items. They are organic material with small amounts of laser-burnt color into them to designate the data. Many of them 5, 10, even 20 years old. And I'm not getting 100% of the reading. On the other hand, when I do, it's often a pretty straightforward recording of television. Not necessarily news, sometimes entertainment, and in many ways, probably replaceable. But to somebody, to a person gone, they represented something worth saving. It's painless for me to have a drive going, a vigil, really, of this man's lifetime of preserving media. And if I'm lucky, if we're all lucky, there will be buried among these sitcoms and television movies and specials a few rare gems, pieces of culture that are otherwise lost. And in that way, the effort, the long drive, the stuffed car, the processing will absolutely be worth it. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, Martin, Symbionts, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. As you might expect, the most important part about reading these thousands of DVDs that I've picked up is coming up with the least intrusive process. I found a basic DVD reader where you pop in a disc, it turns it into a folder on a hard drive, and then ejects it when it's done. All I have to do is place the next disc into the tray, over and over, as long as it takes. It's not a deadline. It's not a confined amount of time that it's going to take me to do this. I might even come up with better ways in the future. But what continues to be important in following process is that it is repeatable, functional, and eventually gets the job done.